Okay, so let's start Psachim. So as I said, what I want to do today is I really want to carefully read the Psukim. Some of you told me you haven't finished them because you were discussing so much, and that is totally fine. If this sheet takes us more than one day, that is fine. I will try to go at your pace. I will try. I'm not always good at it. People, you have to rein me in, which sometimes works, right? Sometimes works. Sometimes works. Not always. Okay. But like I said, as we go through the Psukim, today really what I want to do is I want to read the Psukim carefully, and I want you to tell me how many mitzvot you think there are, how you think they're connected, to set up really the complexity that is Masechet Psachim. Okay? That's my goal. We'll see what we get through. Whatever we don't get through, we'll do tomorrow. So let's start from the beginning. Okay? So Perek Yud Bet. So where does this whole story start? When do we start the discussions? Very good bet. Right when? There's a date. There's a date. First of Nisan, right? This discussion starts at the first of Nisan, right? By Yom Radonai Moshe Vel Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Le'vor HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chadshei Hashana. Okay, this month is for you the head of all months, the first to the months of the year. Okay, this is where the discussion starts. Now, someone want to tell me, let's see if you remember from the Seder, what does this, what, the Midrash jumps on this Pasuk, and...
Why didn't the Torah start here?
Well, that's the first Rashi in the Torah, but asks a question, raises a Hava Mina about the Mitzvot of Pesach, specifically Sipur Yitzchak, what does it say? Yachol Me Rosh Chodesh. You might have thought that the Mitzvot of Sipur Yitzchak Mitzrayim starts... at Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why would anyone think that? Because, that's where the story starts in Chumash, right? All the mitzvot in this perek begin with this instruction at Rosh Chodesh, okay? So God tells Moshe, and I'm going to have you guys pick up in a minute once we sort of get our bearing. Dabru al kol adat Yisrael lemor. Besor lachodesh hazeh v'kchu lahem ish se levedavot se labayit. So on the 10th day, everyone get a sheep per father's house, right? Familial unit. One sheep, one seh per house. Okay? So this is the beginning of, okay, the first mitzvah, fine, Kiddush HaChodesh, we'll leave it on the side. Okay? First mitzvah we have is Korban Pesach, and specifically the preparation of Korban Pesach, which starts with what? Getting a sheep. When do we get the sheep? On the 10th. So good, and which means that we're going to have this sheep sitting around for how long?
4 days.
4 days, very good. Okay? The next pasuk tells us that what happens if you have a very small family?
Buddy up with another family.
Very good, right? So if one family is not enough to eat a sheep, I don't know how many people does a sheep feed?
A lot. How big is the sheep? It's a baby sheep.
I feel like it's a lot of people. I literally have no experience with this at all. No idea. What? Right. So I would probably have a kizayit, because, you know, I have not had meat in, like, I don't know, 28 years or something like that. So that would... I am a vegetarian, and that... So I literally have no idea how much lamb people eat. My wife likes lamb, but I don't think she has a sheep worth. So I don't know. I doubt it. So we'll have a joint one. Okay. Mordechai, you want to be part of my chabura? Great. Okay. Vim yim'at habayit mihyot nisev elakachu shcheino akarov el bito b'mechzat nifashot ish lefi achlo tachosu al ases. So if the house, right, has too few people to eat a sheep, so then you get your neighbor who's close to you by the numbers of people in the house. Each lefiachlo, right? Each person according to what he can eat. Setamim, then we find out that setamim zachar ben shana yelochem minak vasim umina izim tikachu. It is a year old. Okay? I don't know how big a year old lamb is.
Right? Just anything within the first year. Less than a year old.
I don't know. I have no idea how big that is. I have no idea. It is what it is. Okay? Right? But yes, it's born during that year. Okay? Vayalachem lemishmeret ad arba'asar yom lachodesh hazeh v'shachatu oto kol kahal adat Yisrael bein harbayim. And then you shall watch it until the 14th day of the month, and then you shall slaughter it, the entire congregation of Israel. Yes, Kahal Eidan Yisrael. So Mordechai said, what's the difference? Well, now you're thinking like Chazal, right? Okay, where do you think he got it from? He says, Kahal Eidan Yisrael. That's three groups. From here you learn that the Karban Pesach has brought in three separate groups. You'll tell me that works very well when you're bringing the Beit HaMikdash, because you have three shifts. How could you have three groups in the time of the original Karban Pesach? Kasha! So maybe we'll see. But later on the Masech, that says that in when you had the Beit HaMikdash, it was in three shifts. Yeah, well, you eat it. Right? Because, right? There would just be three shifts, right, in the Beit HaMikdash, one after the other, right? First group would come in, eat, leave. Second group would come in. Third group would come in, right? So how would you do it in Mitzrayim? What? Good, so you might think everyone does it together, but Chazal as we might see later on, Chazal have a mild obsession with equating Pesach Mitzrayim with Pesach Dorot.
Only the males with families, the females with
families. Good. I don't expect you to be able. This is one of those things I do not expect you to figure out what Chazal do with this, because Chazal do all types of interesting things, and there are different sources in Chazal, and you have everything from Moshe's voice was magically magnified, and he announced. All Jews between A, you know, whose last name start with A to J. Okay, now is your time. And then a few hours later, everyone from K to whatever, right? So that's one possibility. There is a Targum that suggests even more radically that no, they needed three groups in the Beit HaMikdash. So God flew them out of Egypt to the Beit HaMikdash to have the Karban Pesach and then brought them back, which is among the weirder Midrashim. Right, and then came and brought them back so that he could take them out of Egypt. Yeah, I didn't say that Midrash was easy to understand. I just said it existed. All types of fun sheet, though. But yes, fun times. Anyways, and then you take the blood and you put it on the side posts and on the lintel, the top, okay? That thing. Fine. Where are you going to eat it? Vachura basar balayla azet sli'esh umatzod al mirorim yochluhu. And then you shall eat the meat on that night. What's that night? No, the 14th. The 15th, right? Because we shecht on the 14th. So then the 15th is the next night, right? Meaning it's the proximate time. You can't do it. You can't go backwards in time. It's the 15th. And what do you have to eat it with? Matzah and Marah. Good. Okay, let's pause here. First eight psukim. How many mitzvot do you see and how are they connected? What mitzvot are there? And I don't want you to start figuring out, like, formally how many count. Okay, there's a mitzvot of Rosh Chodesh. Good. Then? Taking the lamb. Good. Slaughtering the lamb. Good. Which may or may not be separate mitzvot, but okay. Let's not think too formally about what a mitzvah is quite yet. But yes, there is the command to take the animal, hold on to it for 4 days, and shecht it. Right? What? Painting the door is good. Now, that obviously is not going to apply to Dorot, but definitely then that was part of the mitzvah. In Mitzrayim, that was part of the mitzvah. Good. What? Oh, we skipped one. Oh, yes. What about Pesach Matzah Marah? Eat them, thank you. We eat Pesach Matzah Marah. Good. What? Well, we didn't see that yet. I only got the chet. I only got the chet. But tet, good. Al tochlu mimenu na uvashel mevushal b'mayim, ki im sleish rashal karav al kirbo. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it cooked. Eat it roasted. Okay? So we've got a lot here so far. Right? Good. How are these connected? Are they connected? What? Okay, good. So One, but everyone's, if you have like a nickname or there's something you want to go by that's not your official name, you just have to tell me what you actually go by. So tell me what you actually go by. And if you go by your last name and not your first name or whatever, well, I agree. Okay. I never went by my first name ever. Never happened. It's terrible. Is that what you'd like me to call you? Fine. Okay, so Zarikar assumes that these are all, when I was in Rambam also, I went by Zering until Aaron, where are my Rambam guys? There are definitely Rambam guys here, no? You're the only one? Okay, so until Aaron Friedman came up with this thing of calling me Jay-Z, which I did not know what that was for a while, Aaron's my ear, right? So it didn't catch on until Aaron convinced his father that it should catch on, and then Roy Friedman started calling me Jay-Z, and then that was the end of Rambam, but until then it was just Zering. Oh, right, you're also Jay-Z. See, look at that. What? I know, but she was there when I was there, but did she call me? I don't know. Roy Friedman definitely. Anyways, not important. Fine. So, you say they're all connected to Karban Pesach. Very good. That, as we will see, is a very important point. What might emerge from what you just said, that they're all connected to Karban Pesach? They're all one mitzvah. And what about nowadays when we don't have a Karban Pesach? Oh, that we don't have to do any of them. Very good. Is that the halacha? What? Oh, good. Okay. What? So does everyone agree with Zarikar that these mitzvot are, as many details as they are, they're fundamentally all conceptually integrated into a single conglomerate called Karban Pesach? Good. Possibly is a good answer. Possibly is a good answer. Oh, yeah, and everyone do this. So what do you go by? What do you actually go by? Name. What do you actually go by? First name, last name. You go by your first name, Moshe. Fine. Yalla. Okay, yeah, go, Moshe.
I understand the whole power of Pesach, and we have to eat that with the Muslim more, but I mean, I know at least today, and I don't want all of you to say back then, but matzahs are, you know, we consider like the koresh, and there's the matzahs more. I feel like those, like the koresh of Pesach, at least matzahs more, are probably three different.
Oh, okay. So Moshe says they should be different. Okay, but in the psukim, are they? Why would you think? Someone give me a textual reason to think they're not connected. That they are connected. Zarek, or why do you think they're connected? What is the? Yeah, and if you wanted to look at the words, what would give you that? Yeah, thank you. Right. Umatzot al merom yochlu hu. You shall eat. Yeah, right. There's a direct object here, right? It's not eat the right. It's you eat them together. Yes, koresh is part of that. So if you just read this, there's good reason to believe that they're connected, which would lead you to believe that matzah and maror are not mitzvot if you don't have a Karban Pesach. Now you're all telling me, but we eat matzah and maror. Okay, but there's always a very easy solution to that problem. Whoa, so what? Good, thank you. But there's also another solution to that, which is to say, that's fine, maybe it's Derabanan. How do you know it's a mitzvah? Right? We do it, but it could be Derabanan. And guess how we're going to paskin? Well, so none of you are right. It's not Derabanan, not Derabanan. Is it what? No. Okay, Zarikar tells me, well, it comes back and says it in another pasuk, not with Karban Pesach. What does it say in another pasuk? On 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, you'll eat matzah. Okay, now reframe it. What are we going to paskin? Very good. That matzah is d'oraisa and maror is d'rabbanan. And now you understand where Chazal got that notion from, because it is right here. Right? That is where they're going to get it from, because they are going to decide that matzah at first glance sounds like it's part of Karban Pesach, but hey, we repeat it independently. But maror, we don't repeat it independently. That's right. Yep. What did I tell you I was doing today? All I wanted to do is read the psukim, because I said I want you to be able to think like Chazal, right? Correct. That's right. And that's why that's the whole Sugya in the 10th Perek about this, when we will discover that, right? And Chazal are going to say exactly that. Matzah gets repeated, so it's Doraisa, right? I told you, today I just want to read the Psukim, and you will see, right, that much of what is set up in this entire very long Masechta, you can predict the discussions that are going to be had if you just read carefully. Okay, good. So let's continue, right? So then we have the limitations on how you cook it. Right? Then Pasuk Yud, Velototiru menu ad boker, Venotar menu ad boker by Ish Tisrofu. Don't leave it till morning, right? The prohibition of notar. And whatever is left over, you burn. Vikacha tochlu oto, matnechem chagurim. Na'alechem beraglechem, umakelchem bietchem achaltem otao vichipazon pesahula donai. You will, by the way, get used to this. If I am reading an entire Pasuk, I will always say Hashem's name. I know not everyone does it, but I will do it. You can do whatever you want. And this is how you eat it, with your loins girded. Sounds like terribly archaic. But yes, you're traveling clothes, right? Your shoes on your feet, your sticks in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is a Pesach for God. Oh, like Libo Roa Terefa. Yes. Okay. I mean, yes, that is where it comes from. Wearing a belt during davening is because you're separating your heart from the lower half of your body. I don't think so, but I have never seen anyone connect that. Okay, good. So Mordechai already notes that reading the Psukim, there's already a feeling that some of these halachot sound like they are just for then, and some sound forever. Guess what? There's an entire very long sugya in the middle of the Kachim sections, which is devoted to that question, which is, which of these are Ludorot and which of these are Lashah? Right? Ludorot means for all generations, Lashah means for the time. And not surprisingly, that is a major sugya, right? I told you, if you read through these, you will predict. Right, that is a very large percentage of the Karban Pesach Sugyas. Well, not a very large percentage, a decent discussion. The Gemara is exactly about that question, right? Which is, what is Ludorot, what is Lashah, and what does that tell us about Karban Pesach? Very good. Okay? Correct. 100%. Don't leave it over, but if you do, then you have to burn it. Very good, right? Kobe is 100% right. That the notar is clearly, right? The ideal is to not have notar. If you have notar, then you have to deal with it, right? And then when we get to mitzvot, you obviously have to figure out, okay, well, is there a lav here, a prohibition to leave it over? Is it a lav hanita klase, right? Which is fixed. Like, if you don't burn it, right? So what is that? Is that you ideally shouldn't, but if you do, then you burn it and you're fine? Or is it, it's a lav, but it can be fixed with an ase, right? Like zela. Right, you shouldn't steal, but if you do, you return it. That's a lavanita class, eh? And also, is it better to... Okay, well, then Gobi says, and well, is the reason you can't leave it over because you're supposed to eat it? Well, that's a little bit complicated. What complicates that? Since you did brachot last year, does the status of notar kick in as soon as you can't eat it anymore, or is there a time in which you can't eat it, but it's not notar yet?
No tar.
Leftover. No sar, if you want it with the stuff. What? What? The first Mishnah. These are the things that you have till morning, but Chacham said al chatzot, right? This is one of the questions. There is no tar, in the ensuing Gemara is there. Is that question? Right at the beginning? Those chatzot things? Part of that discussion. Right?
Another
Okay, very good. And one of the questions is, okay, what about bringing your own? Good. Where's that discussion from? I don't know how much do you guys learn. So, well, okay, let's see. What masechta do you guys learn in high school? And have you guys learned Kiddushin? Okay, so where's that discussion about? Yeah, which part?
I learned the part about basically what constitutes a marriage.
The first parak. Who learned the second parak? Anyone? So, anyway. Okay, so right at the beginning of the second parak is this question in the Sugya of Shlichut. Right at the beginning of the second parak, right, one of the examples of Shlichut is suggested is Karban Pesach, the Shechit of Pesach, and the question of does everyone need to bring, or can you have one L'Kol Yisrael, right, which is brought on behalf, right? That question is exactly is how what?
Well, is Karban also a
communal? No, that's a communal offering, but Karban Pesach is much more complicated. Right? And that is the discussion right there in Mem Aleph, Mem Bet Amud Aleph, right? Oh, very good. So, okay, again, what do you actually go by?
Ezra.
Okay, so Ezra says, well, are we sure that this mitzvah is forever? Maybe the reason you can't leave it over, maybe that was a mitzvah of Pesach Mitzrayim, because, you know, we had to get out in the morning, and, you know, if you have leftovers, right, we can't leave, we have to pack up the leftovers, right, put it in, you know, whatever, right, put it in a plastic bag, put it in tinfoil, put it in a freezer bag, right, whatever, right? Oh, right, so it could be, right, halacha, it won't be, but right, you could have read this and said, well, look, there's actually a logic to saying that it's only true then. It's a fun minhag. Yeah, no, for sure. It's a very, very, it's a minhag that finds its expression in many, many, many countries. Various ways of acting it out, yeah. For sure. Okay, good. But we'll see that there are, right, the Torah does already talk that way. Okay. So, what? Okay, yeah, so why do you have to eat it quickly? Why do you have to eat it with haste? No. So why do you think? Why do you have to eat it quickly? Good, to highlight that they're going out. Yeah, that's a good question. It's a simulated haste, right? Very good. It's a simulated haste. Right. Good. So the question here, is this a haste or a simulated haste, right? Is it? I have absolutely no idea. Is that true? I don't know. Anyways. Okay, guys, so continuing, right? Then we get Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Zevi Keti Chol Bechor Beretz Mitzrayim Me'adam Vat Be'imav U'Bechol Olei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Adonai. And God says, I will pass through Egypt and I will smite down for the firstborns of animals and people, and I shall carry out judgment against the gods of Egypt. V'haya hadam lochem lo'od ala batim asher atem sham v'reiti hadam ufasachti aleichem. And the blood shall be as a sign on your door where you are, and you'll right, and I will see the blood and I will be poseach on you, and that you shall not have a plague of destruction when I hit Egypt. How do you translate pasachti? So pass over. It's an interesting translation. Is it right? Okay, so well, let's try. It might be right. It's definitely the modern translation, but is it right? So what else does the word Pesach mean? What is a Piseach? Piseach o Iver. Yeah, what is it? It's lame. Someone who's lame, right? What does lame mean? Can't walk properly. Good, right? What else does right? Where? Okay, good. It's like to limp. Very good. And what? Where else do we famously have the verb of Pesach? No, that's poteach with a tav, right? But this one, the phrase is poseach al shnei ha'si'ifim. So yeah, well, you know Tanakh. Good. Now let's see if you remember it. What's Poseach al Shnei Seifim? Who says close? Eliyahu. When does he say, right? Until when will you people say al Shnei Seifim? Before. Well, yes, in that story. Correct? Right? What does he say? So Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel gets all the Nevi'i Abal together, and he kills them, and right, he has the whole test. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Some people do, some people don't. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, good, right? So Eliyahu, right? And then what does he say to the Jews? He says, right, the Jews do not believe in God. What do they believe in? Right? Good. The Jews aren't, they don't deny God. What do? They're syncretists. Right, they're syncretists, right? Meaning they believe in multiple, because they're polytheists. So God, right, Yud Ke Vav Ke is one of the gods, but not the only one, right? So they also worship Baal. And what does he say? Good. So and he says, until when are you Poseach al Shnei Seifim? What does that mean? Good. So are you passing over? What are you doing?
Switching.
Yeah, well, so what is your... Are you, you're not passing over. What are you doing? Passing into. Right? Into. Right? You are bouncing between the two sides. You put your foot on one right ledge. You put it on the other ledge. Right? And if someone is lame, does he jump over?
No.
No, what does he do? Right, he drags. Right? So I once heard from Rav Maidan. He says, it's a mistranslation. Not pass over. It's pass into. Meaning, it's not that God skipped over the Jews. What did he do? He went into the houses which protected them from the Mashrit. Right? Right? Ufasachti aleichem. I will pass on top of you. Right? It's not that he passed over you, he passed into you. Right? 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 And you won't be right hit by the... Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, not from here. Later on, you see it. Here, you don't.
It's just you version.
Yeah, later, well, when it actually happens.
I thought I had it
there. Yeah, when we get there.
So we have to infer from there then.
Well, in just a few psukim. Okay. Anyways, so now what happens? V'haya hayom azeh lachem lezikaron. V'chagotem otel chag l'adonai l'darotechem chukat olam techagu. And then it shall be for you, in remembrance, a holiday... Right now, what is the shorish of the word chag? Or what is it related to? It's always what type of holiday? What type? One that has a sacrifice. Right? Because it's related to the word chagiga. Right? The korban chagiga. Right? Now, of course, as several people ask me, wait a second, I'm a little bit confused. Why are we doing all these mitzvot in anticipation? Aren't they supposed to commemorate? We haven't left yet. Why are we doing this mitzvot? Right? That is one of the major complexities here, which is what is the nature of these mitzvot such that we do them commemoratively before there's anything to commemorate? What? Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. But we'll see. Right? Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Oh, now we get for 7 days, right? Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Ach bayom rishon dashbitu seor mibatechem. Ki chol chel chametz v'nichreta nefesh ahim Yisrael miyom rishon ed yom ha-shvi'i. So we're going to spend a few minutes on that pasuk, because that pasuk is a very hard pasuk to read. Let's try that again, okay? Someone translate it for me. Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. 7 days you shall eat matzah. Ach. What's ach? However, what would you, if you didn't know the next words, what, however what? What would you expect? However what? You shall eat matzah. However, except what? What would you expect? Yeah, I mean, don't eat matzah for 7 days. Don't eat it the day before. Don't eat it the day after. I don't know. Right, or so, I don't know. What does it actually say? However, on the first day, you shall tashbit. What's tashbit? Destroy, get rid of, cause to rest, right? We'll have to see what that word means, right? Great. Someone want to actually parse what those words meant?
I don't know if there's a good translation.
Okay, good. So explain that pasuk. You shall eat matzah for 7 days, and however, rather, though, something... Is it also? So, okay, good. Now, this is where we're going to get very important. How is this connected to what we just said? But, so'or. Now, what's so'or? Leaven. What is leaven? Okay, good. So I explained this to a few guys in the morning that yeast, right? You need to understand a little science. We can start this experiment at some point. I just got to get the stuff. It's really not hard, right? So, okay, the guys who I explained it to, don't explain it. Let's see if anyone else knows. Okay, nowadays, how many of you bake? Good. What do you put in the bread for it to rise? Yeast. Good. What? Well, that. Yes, fine. But yeast makes it rise. Good. Historically, how did you get yeast? The air. So how do you... Historically, not now. Not now, right? How did you make it? Yeah, where'd you get it from? What? What? No, where do you get the yeast if you don't buy it in the store? Where do you find it? What is yeast? It's a fungus. It's a fungus. Where is it from? Where do you find it if you don't have it ready in the store? In the air. That's what we call sourdough starter. And as I explained to everyone, how do you make sourdough starter? So you take flour and you take water and you mix them together and then you let it sit. And then the yeast in the air starts to gather in the water. And what does it start to do? Digest the flour and multiply. And then the next day, what do? You feed the starter. You throw out some, you add some new, and you do this again and again and again and again until you have sourdough starter, right? Sourdough starter is, as we'll see in the Gemara says, se'or is chametz u'machmitz. It is itself chametz and makes other things chametz. Why? Why is it chametz? Because it is flour which has been rising for a long time. How long do good bakeries have their starter? Very good. Centuries. That's the right answer. Right? Really good bakeries have century-old starter. They just keep feeding it forever. These things are worth a fortune of money. They keep it under lock and key in a fridge. What? Yeah. Right? And what does it smell like? Vinegar. Very good. Which might explain why it's called chametz. Because what is vinegar? Chometz. Right? Chometz, right? So years ago, I actually made this, right? And you will see, right, if you want to look, right, this is what it looks like, right? This is, we can try doing it. I just need to get the ingredients, right? Day one, it looks like flour. Day two, you can already see it's starting to bubble, right? As you feed it. By day three, it's getting liquidy. And you'll see that as you go on, right, it starts to, right, separate out. And that liquid on top smells like vinegar, and this keeps going on. And then when you're ready to bake, you take it and you add more flour and literally just bake it. That's how you make sourdough bread. Okay? That's the or. Rises. Yes. Correct. And then what holds it in place is specifically what in the flour makes bread bread. Gluten. Thank you, gluten. Gluten, which is a very strong, what? You're right. And do you know how it stays risen? What? Very good answer. The answer is chemicals. And that's why all the bread that I make for my kids has so many chemicals in it, because they're all celiac, right? And yes, so, but traditionally, you know what happened to non-gluten bread? Nothing. It tasted like garbage, right? Now we add xanthan gum. I don't want to know what that is exactly, right? They almost only had sourdough bread. Well, now that we can separate out yeast, we can make things rise that are sweet and don't have that taste. But it's very hard if you don't separate yeast. Yeah, because it has that like sour taste, right? That's exactly where it comes from. We'll make it, okay? Whenever... So you need whole grain flour. If anyone wants to go out and get it, this is what you need. Whole grain flour, and a plastic or glass bowl with a top. That's all you need. Okay? Otherwise, you need water and a space to put it. That is all we need. Okay? You put it in a dark space. So, like, just...
A dark space, a cover of dust.
I said a cover. Like, get a Tupperware. Yes, you can leave it in the kitchen. We can leave it in the back room. If someone wants to get it, it'll cost you all of 10 shekel to get the what we need, right? And then it'll actually happen. And then we can make it in, like, a week or two, depending on how strong you want it, or 6 months, I guess, if you want. We can make sourdough bread. Okay? We can keep making it, too. You can keep feeding it. Okay, good. Oh, okay, good. Good. Hold that thought. So now we say, so whoever eats chametz shall get karet, will be cut off from day one into day seven. Now, this pasuk should force you to ask the question that one of the most major questions in this entire mesechta, which is, what is the connection between the first half of this pasuk and the second half of the pasuk? And if you looked at this pasuk, what would you guess? 7 days, Shivat Yamim Tocho, right? Matzot Tochelo, Ach, Bayom Arishon, Tashpid the Sor, Mibiatechem, Kikol Reid, Chametz Venechrata. What is the claim? Right? How many mitzvot were? So, first of all, how many mitzvot were in that pasuk? How many mitzvot were in that pasuk? Two? What two? So, okay, so you found two, Kobe found three. What's the third? Yeah, so there's plausibly three here. Eat matzah, destroy chametz, so'or, and eat, don't eat chametz. When do these apply? What's the Yom Rishon?
Just the first day.
Oh, so Kobe says, wait a second. Yom Rishon can't mean Pesach. Wait, you mean I get rid of chametz on Pesach? You mean on at the Seder, I'm burning my chametz? Wait, that doesn't sound right. So he says, maybe Bayom means... By time you get to day one, you must have gotten rid of it. What else might it mean? Well, I mean, I guess it could mean the first day of the month. What else could it mean? Well, when do we actually do it? 14th. Good. Is the 14th day one?
No.
Is it? No, it's not. It's not the first day of Chag HaMatzot, but it's the first day of what? Pesach. Very good. Right? Because when do we bring Karban Pesach? On 14, so watch for ambiguity because there are two first days. There's the day of Karban Pesach, which is Chag HaPesach, and then there's the day of Chag HaMatzot. And what day is Chag HaPesach? The 14th of Nisan, when you bring the Karban Pesach. What day is Chag HaMatzot? 15th, good. So what day is this? 14, maybe. What's the problem with saying it's 14? 7 days you shall eat matzah, and what do we, in the second half of the Pasuk, what do we call the 7 days you eat matzah? Yeah, but what do you call it in this pasuk? Miyom HaRishon. So, is the first day the 14th, the 15th, by the first day? Does the first half of the pasuk mean by the first day, and the second half means on the first day? Same pasuk, remember, right? Oh, good. And suddenly you realize, I told you, right? This pasuk, there's potentially three mitzvot. We don't know the dates of them. And how are they connected? That is, guess what? One of the most important questions in this entire Masechta. Oh, it's definitely connecting. And I gave you, on this pasuk, right, one example of just a suggestion, right? Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, right? So guys who have been in my shir before know that one of the things I insist on is that we know the people we're talking about. So at some point during Seder, if there's someone you see and you don't know their biography, what should you do? Look it up. Thank you. Right? I made it easier for you today, and I told you the Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, was one of the 12th century Baal Yatosot. He's French. We don't know exactly. We don't have so much on his bio, but he seems to be a French one. We know he's a student of, right, of the Re, the Rabbi Yosef Ben Arabi Yitzhak, meaning the Re's son, right, the Re of Orleans, right? He was a student of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, he writes a commentary. Primarily, he's known for his Perush Chumash. Okay, and what does he say? What's the connection between the two? He says, "Kichol ochel chametz, shelo tomar ochel matzah v'chametz ochel ima." What might you have thought that you should eat matzah, but You can also eat chametz. Don't do that. Why? Dim kein tivatel ha-matzah mibnei ha-chametz shadam ragil bo. Because you'll end up not eating matzah in favor of the chametz that you're used to. Right, so either it doesn't count or practically you won't do it, right? But what is the, however you want to read it, what does the Bechor Shor tell you? How does he think they're connected? So how does he think the mitzvah are connected? The prohibition of eating chametz is to make sure you eat matzah, right? So what does he think? Does he think these are connected, which is the simple implication of this pasuk?
Yes.
Yes, good. Do you expect to find connections between them? 100%. So, what types of connections might you expect to see between those mitzvot? Oh, very good. So Kobe says, wait, isn't matzah made from the exact same things that are chametz, and only things that can become chametz can become matzah? Yes. Where do you think the Gemara got that notion from? Right? This pasuk. Thank you. Very good. Very good. Right? Now, at some point during this year, I will have to, go through this, but what are the things that can become chametz or can be used for matzah? What are they? How many grains are they? Five. Good. What are they? Wheat. Wheat. Does wheat rise? 100%. Second? Barley. Does it rise? Yes, 100%. Spelt. Does spelt rise? 100%. Rye. Does rye rise? 100%. What do all four of those have in common? They have gluten. Very good. They have grains. Yes. Now someone tell me the fifth. Good. Do oats rise? No. Do oats have gluten? No. Are oats a grain? No. Not really. Right? Very good. Rashi says that oats are shibboleth shu'al. The Rambam says, no, it's not. Right? It is avena. It is two-row barley. Shockingly, do you think two-row barley rises and has gluten? It's another type of barley. And guess what? You know what the Gemara says about shibboleth shu'al? That it's a subspecies of barley. Yeah, okay. So when I was at the doctor this week testing my kids to see how they're doing on their new, gluten-free diet, he said, so they could start eating oats this week. And he said, well, what are you going to do with Pesach? Well, I was like, I really would not. Or for Shabbos, I'm like, I really would rather them not, wash an oats, because I don't think that oats are one of the five grains, and I don't want them wash. And I love Israel, because my pediatrician, who's not a rabbi, he's like, of course that's what you think, because you know the truth, that oats are not a grain. I'm like, good, I'm glad. What? Well, I do not say on a granola bar, that's correct. But we will get to it. What? Adama. It depends on the granola bar. It depends on how it's produced. But Hadamah Shakal depends. What? Or what?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, it depends how it's ground. And yes, but do I say Mizonos? Absolutely not. Right? But we'll get to that. But one of the reasons, because yes, chametz and matzah are intrinsically linked. And when you have celiac kids, and they're like, oh, but don't worry, you can have oats. You're like, really? Really? They can have oats. That's interesting, right? Because why? Oh, because it doesn't have gluten, so it doesn't rise. Well, isn't that interesting, right? Isn't that interesting? Yes, it's a very interesting.
Wait, so why is oats still not allowed on Pesach?
Is oats not allowed on Pesach? I'm not going to tell you to eat it on Pesach because, on the suffix that Rashi's right, but we'll talk about this later. But if you want to understand why this is a question, right, remember, right? Matzah and chametz are intrinsically linked, and it has to be able to rise. And oats, shockingly, do not, right? Or not really. Not the way things with gluten do, unless you add xanthan gum, because then, sure, anything can rise, right? Yeah. You add enough chemicals, anything can rise. Yes. What? No. No. Of course, everything gets complicated, because here we have amilan chita, and that just is the most confusing thing in the world. Amilan chita is wheat, which has had the gluten removed from it. Welcome to complicated.
So, are you allowed to use nutter rice?
Not without xanthan gum, Kent.
So are you allowed to use nutter?
Yeah, it's not an American thing; it's a European thing, but we get it here. Well,
so you're on Pesach, you're allowed to use other things that make oats rise, xanthan gum,
Yeah, what do you think is in that those vile Pesach cakes? What exactly? They're all puffy. Do you think potato flour does that? Do you think potatoes rise? Sure, if you pack it with baking soda and then xanthan gum to hold the air, sure, sure, right? Yeah, but what's going to hold it, right? The reason gluten rises and holds it is because it creates a crystal lattice structure and holds the air bubbles, right? It's not enough for it to rise, right? If you mix a lot of baking soda into like rice flour, it'll also rise. And then you know what'll happen when you bake it? It flattens because the proteins are so weak that it can't handle heat. It collapses into a flat, tasteless, horrible... Anyways.
See the Hushmug opinion, it's about flatbreads.
Oh, it's so bad. Anyways, I did this experiment years ago, and now that my kids are celiac, I do many of these experiments on a daily basis. Okay, so, but yeah. As Kobe said, right, what are you going to expect in these psukim? A connection between chametz and matzah in very fundamental ways. And as Kobe notes correctly, one of those connections for Chazal is that the only things that can become matzah are the things that could be chametz. They are fundamentally linked. But another thing is, well, when do you have to get rid of them? Right? It sounds like... Right. So it sounds like that these are connected, like the time, right, when you're eating matzahs, when you don't have chametz. Is there any overlap? Well, unclear because of that ambiguity around Yom Rishon. Right? Because what day do you know you have to eat matzah on? Starting from what day? The 15th, right? First day of Pesach, right? Or Chag HaMatzot, right? When do we stop eating chametz? 14th. When do we destroy chametz? 14th. Good. We've got to figure that out. And there's something else you got to think. What? What? Yes.
So that's why we don't eat the day for a couple of days before Pesach.
Not the day before. Guess what? Where do you think we're going to get this complexity from? The fact that on the one hand, chametz and matzah are intrinsically linked, but there seems to be a time in which you don't eat matzah, but you can't have chametz, because we have two Yom Rishons that seem to mean different things, right? Yes, guess which perek deals with that? Or Larbasar, right? When it's trying to figure out the 14th. Right? Okay, good. And if it weren't, very good. And if it weren't confusing enough to you as to what Yom Rishon is, the next pasuk is again, Uva Yom HaRishon, Mikra Kodesh, Uva Yom HaShvi, Mikra Kodesh, Yelachem, Komalacha, Lo Yaseh Vahem, Achasher Yachol Lachol Nevesh, Ulevado, Yaseh Lachem. On the first day and the seventh day, it is Kodesh. What's the first day clearly in this pasuk? The 15th, very good. Ushmartem et HaMatzot, you shall guard the matzah, whatever that means, when? Ki be'etzem ayom hazeh utzeiti et zivodeichem eretz Mitzrayim, because in the middle, in the strongness of that day, which day? What, 14th? What, 15th? I hear any other possibilities? 14th, 15th? Right, good. Mordechai's like, didn't we have an Agadah to share on this last year? Was it the 16th? Maybe. Yes. What?
Yeah,
we did. We absolutely did. And do you remember we read this parak and I said, good, when did the Jews leave Egypt? And we read through the psukim and was like, 14th, 15th, 16th?
I thought it was
Agadah. No, it was Agadah. Second to last one, I think. Okay, so maybe in theory you could divide between Seor, good. And then what do we get in Yudchet? In case you weren't confused enough. Right, so we all assumed, Kedavar Pashut, right? Obvious that when you start eating matzah, only 15th, good. Pasuk Yudchet, Barishon, on the first day. Which, what day did we say the first day is? The 15th. What did we say? 15th, good. What does Pasuk Yudchet say? Barishon, Barbasar Yom Lachodesh. Ba'erev, on the 14th at night, which is what? What do we call that in elsewhere? 15th, good. Are we on the 14th or 15th right now? What is Rishon? 15 or 14? Which is it? Both. Very good. Right? It's both. You want confusion? Why do you think the Gemara talks about it? Ba'rishon ba'arbasar yom lachodesh ba'erev tochlu matzot ad yom ha'echad ve'esrim lachodesh ba'erev. Now, how do I know that it doesn't mean the 14th? Well, it's very simple math. Very simple math. It says the 14th, and it says that how many days do you eat matzah? 7. And what day does it end on? 21st. Good. How many days is between, how many days are there if you count 14 to 21 inclusive? 8. Very good. So what's the first day? 14th or 15th? Had to be 15th. Good. Oh, very good. Do you understand now why so much of this parak is trying to figure out when do these mitzvot happen? Now you understand why Chazal are confused. Do you understand how drashot work now? When is it? Oh, maybe. Very good. And now you understand, and suddenly you've forgotten. What might lead you to believe that it's Bein Harbayim? Is there anything important that happens there? Oh, because Kobe said, wait a second, we're so caught up in chametz and matzah, weren't we talking about Karban Pesach that's brought in the afternoon of the 14th? Oh, you mean that it's not the whole 14th? You mean there's a part of the 14th that gets closer to 15th that has unique status? Yes, that is called, right? Right, Bein Harbayim. Very good. And guess what, right? That is exactly part of the problem. There's that other mitzvah that actually takes place in the latter half of day 14 going into day 15. And you know, you shecht it on 14, but you eat it on 15. So, amazingly, those hours in the late afternoon are like, you know, overflowing 14 and 15. Shocking. And elsewhere, we haven't read it yet, but what else is there a special prohibition to do while you're shechting Karban Pesach? Lo tishkat al chametz dam zivchi. Don't shecht it while you have chametz. Oh, very good. Suddenly you realize where we get this, and then we say shivat yamim, and then, oh, we were talking about matzah for 7 days. Oh, well, if you eat matzah for 7 days, then shivat yamim sa'or. Oh, now suddenly a new mitzvah. Lo yimatze bevatechem. Should not what? Be found. Right, that's a new mitzvah. It should also not be found. Sure. Ki chol ochel machmetzet, because anyone who eats machmetzet, what's machmetzet? Well, is it chametz? No, machmetzet. What does lehachmetz mean? To make something, chametz. So all that which makes things, v'nichatan hevashim yadai Yisrael b'agerah gazah haaretz, kol machmetzet lo tochelu. Don't eat machmetzet. What do you expect the end of Pasuk Chaf to be? Bechol moshe adeichem dechlu matzot. Do you understand, right, why these are connected mitzvot? If you read the psukim, would you get the feeling that these are connected? I would hope you would if you read the psukim carefully, right? Anyone from the psukim have any clear idea what anything is happening? On the 14th, 15th, both? On what day? Yom HaRishon. When is Yom HaRishon again? The 14th, which is 7 days before the 21st, which is also known as the 15th. Right. Which we call the 14th. Oh, good. Preparations. Preparations are important. Good. Right, and now, how do you not have matzah found on the 15th? What do you need to do? How do you make sure there is no matzah found on the 15th? You have to get dubidika chamet, biur chamet, you have to get rid of it when? Oh, on the 14th, very good, right? So, except what day did we say you get rid of it on? No, by Yom HaRishon. Oh, good. Very good. Right? You can't have matzah found on the 15th, so you have to do tashbitu, destroy it, by Yom HaRishon. Good. What day is Yom HaRishon? 14th. Well, you would think it's the 14th, because then it won't be found on the 15th. Except what does Yom HaRishon mean every other time that he took him? 15th, until the 14th is the 15th, right? Because you eat it on the 14th by Erev, which is the 15th, right? Good. Now you're sufficiently confused. Now you understand why Chazal are dealing with this and why the 14th is important, why the 15th is important, and yes, why the afternoon is also important, right? Like I said. And now how many mitzvot are we up to? All the Karban Pesach, matzah, which, as Erica pointed out, in some psukim sounds like it's connected to Karban Pesach. How about here? No, not really. What is it connected to? Not Karban Pesach, but what? Oh, very good. Now, we didn't do this yet, but remember I told you that at some point, probably tomorrow, I want you to read the Rambam. You know, what does the Rambam call these halachot again? Hilchot, Chametz, Umatza, right? That's in Hilchot Karbanot, right? That's in Karbanot. Chametz, Umatza. Good. What mitzvah do you think end up in Chametz, Umatza? Chametz, Umatza. What else? Oh, good. Maror and Sipur Yitzit Mitzrayim. Okay. We're going to have to figure that one out, right? But yes, right? You understand? Now, where are we going to get this from? So, where would you get the notion that there might be another mitzvah? Well, it's 12:30, so I'll have to stop. But where might you get the idea that there's another mitzvah that is somehow intrinsically connected to chametz and matzah? Name Sipur Yitzit Mitzrayim. Where might you get that idea? And how many of you got to the end of this parak? We're in the middle of this discussion. Suddenly, what does he say? V'haya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem ma'avodazot lachem. If someone asks you what are these things and what will you say, you'll tell them the story. Except, how do we tell the story here? Va'amartem. Ah, oh, very good. Except, what do we do again? Remind me again. What do we eat the Karban Pesach with?
And Mara,
and good. And remind me again, what do you say on Seder tonight? Rabbi Gamliel, what does he say? Kol Shmi Shalom Amar Shloshet Dvarim Eivel Lo Yatsa. Yeah, which obligation? Oh, which one? You didn't fulfill Pesach Matzah or Mara. What else might you not fulfill? Sipur Yitzit Mitzrayim. Which one? Very good. It's Machloket Rishonim. So Machloket Rishonim, which one you don't fulfill? Do you understand why this is connected? Where do you get the notion they're connected? Shocking. What? It's not just that. It's that when people ask you, you will tell them the story of the Karban Pesach. I told you that you want to understand the complexity of this whole Masechta, read the Chumash. Okay? So tomorrow we're going to continue because we're not done. You're starting to understand how Chazal think in this Masechta? I'm hoping you do. Okay?